All right, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I'm deviating from Philippians today to address what I perceive as a current need among many of us. And this need can be seen on our faces. It can be heard in our words. Can be felt in your tone of voice. I can see it in your body language. The need is this. You need to be refreshed. You need your burden lifted. Jesus is the one who can lift your life's burden. He's the one that can give you peace. He's the one that can give you rest, that inner rest, that refreshing of the soul. And my purpose this morning is to challenge anyone that is carrying this heavy life's burden to trust Jesus with it. Give it to him and let him carry it. Look in Matthew chapter 11, find verse 25. It says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will receive him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. There's an illustration that comes from the Philippines. A local Philippine pastor gave this parable to illustrate the you know, Christ's offer of rest here in Matthew chapter 11. And really the response then of people that won't trust Jesus completely with their burden. The story goes like this. The driver of a wagon was on his way to the market when he overtook an old man carrying a heavy load. Now, taking compassion on this old man, the driver invited the old man to ride in his wagon. And gratefully, the old man accepted, and he gets into the wagon. After a few minutes, the driver turned around to see how the old man was doing. And to his surprise, he found the man still, you know, sitting in the wagon, but still with the heavy burden on his shoulders. He'd not taken the weight off. Set it down in the wagon. See, burdens come sooner or later, and some are seen. The deepest burdens are unseen. People's weariness comes from enduring their burdens. Sometimes those burdens are the result of sin and its consequences. Sometimes the burdens are just the pressures of everyday life that pile up. But by placing themselves under Jesus's yoke and learning from Jesus, they find rest for their souls from those burdens. A Sunday school teacher read this to her class, saying, my yoke is easy. And she asked the children, who can tell me what a yoke is? A little girl responded, it's something they put on the neck of animals. The teacher goes on, what's the meaning of God's yoke? The four-year-old answered again, that's when God puts his arms around your neck. God desires for us to come to him, allowing him to carry our yoke. And so often we push him away instead of taking his hug. Now, in Israel, yokes were made out of wood. The oxen would be brought into the carpenter, and if Jesus was a woodworker, he would have had experience with this in his shop in Nazareth. He would have known about this. The oxen would come in, and they would be measured, you know, for the yoke, and it'd be carefully marked out on the wood, kind of where the hole is, where the shoulders would sit, and then the oxen would be brought back later on for the fitting of the yoke. Because it was important that the yoke fit perfectly. Otherwise, it would chafe and it would hurt and the animal would fight against it. It was a token of submission for the animal to pull a load, to carry a responsibility, to take orders, to be directed by someone else, you know, to plow a field, to pull whatever they were to pull, whether it's a wagon or something else. And that same thing was transferred over into the Jewish thinking so that when a student submitted himself to his teacher, he was said to take the yoke of the teacher. It was a yoke of instruction. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." If you're weary and burdened, he says, "I will give you rest." See, there's no reason for you to struggle with burdens that are too heavy for you to carry. If you'll turn to Jesus, he will help you carry these burdens. And there is no burden. There is no load too heavy for Jesus to carry. Or you can continue carrying your own burden. And you will continue to be slowly crushed under it. The only reasons I can think of for a believer not giving their burden to Jesus to carry would be, first of all, number one, they just really don't think Jesus can or will carry it for them. Or secondly, they don't think Jesus will do it right. And right would be defined as the way they want it carried. So they don't trust Jesus for the outcome of them turning their burdens over to him. Either way, they carry what they should not for reasons that they should not. So let's look at number one, an invitation. An invitation is given for all burden bearers. It's really come, take, learn. Christ is the source of the greatest invitation extended to man, and he offers this invitation at great cost to himself. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich." See, there needs to be a seeking to have your burden lifted. It says, "Come unto me." The basic word means to come hither, to come here, but it's a command. It means to come right now. And this is one of the sweetest passages in the New Testament. It shows the willingness of the Lord to care and provide for his own. The kings of the earth and the great mighty men, the rich, the powerful, they're usually very difficult to access. But Jesus is not only willing, but he invites us to access him. And note how gracious the invitation is. The invitation is to anyone who is needy, anyone who has a burden to carry. And if your pride won't let you admit, let me tell you, you are terribly needy. You desperately need Jesus. The come means to believe, to receive, and it carries the idea of come here with the here implied. Really, it's you come from where you are and you get yourself to Jesus. It's like in John 6:35, when Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." The point is, Jesus says, "I alone can give knowledge of the Father. You come to me and you receive instruction of me." To come, I'm going to give you some words and some references. If you want to jot these down, I can give them to you later, if so. To come to Jesus means to believe, Acts 16:31. It means to receive, John 1:12, to eat, John 6:35, to drink, John 7:37, to look, Isaiah 45:22, to confess, 1 John 4:2, to hear, John 5:24-25. It means to enter the door, John 10:9, to open the door in Revelation 3:20. It means to touch the hem of his garment in Matthew 9, to accept the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23. The object of faith is not a church, it's not a creed, it's not a pastor or a preacher or a deacon or a trustee, but the living Lord Jesus Christ himself. See, salvation is the person of Jesus Christ. Those who have Jesus are as saved as God can make them. So there has to be a seeking. Secondly, there needs to be a submission. It says, take my yoke upon you. See, he shows us how to come to him. And this means to enter into submission to his will, to turn over control of your life to him. Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And he says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect or complete will of God. Jesus says, become my student. Jesus says, submit yourselves to my instruction and learn from me. And he invites us to come and submit ourselves to him. We cannot do that without humbling ourselves and trusting him. To all these burden bearers, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. So yeah, there has to be a resuming of the load again. But it's to bear his yoke, to put on his yoke, to take his yoke meant that you accept his strength, that his wisdom and his method of living and laboring. It's doing life, taking Jesus' yoke upon you is doing life his way. Now, aren't you tired of doing it your way? Aren't you tired of it failing over and over and over again? Come to Jesus, take his yoke, and learn. Third, there's a skillfulness involved. There's a specialized ability here. It says, learn of me, learn from me. And as we acknowledge his lordship in every area of our lives, then he trains us. He teaches us in his ways. To learn from him means to be his disciple. People can trade their heavy, tiring burdens for his yoke and his burden, which by contrast is easy. It's light. To serve Jesus is no burden. To serve Christ is no load to carry. Because in contrast with those who reject him, Jesus is gentle. Jesus is humble. He's not harsh and proud like you are. He's not harsh and proud like those who seek to put burdens on you. The second thing we see is that there needs to be an identification of the burden bearer. We are weary and heavy laden. He's talking about us. These people feel heavily the burdens of life, the burdens of sin, the burdens of sorrow. And there is a struggle going on here where it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. There's a struggle that goes on. They grow weary and tired and exhausted with toil and burden and grief and despair and frustration and to labor with such wearisome effort to toil and see no progress. Trying to do spiritual things in the flesh will exhaust you on every single level. These are folks that are suffering. They're loaded down. They're carrying a burden It's a state of weariness, meaning that someone is overwhelmed by the fear, anxiety, and despair. And Jesus is describing those who have been loaded with burdens and are bending under the weight. See, when you're carrying a burden, people can see it. When you're burdened down with the pressures of life or sin or despair or grief or frustration, whatever it is, your entire countenance changes. And people can see it. It affects you. For the audience that Jesus was writing to, the Jewish law and the oral commandments dictated every action and activity of the Jewish life, and it was a massive burden for a sincerely religious person to try to carry. For us, Jesus alone can come alongside and lift that load and cause you to rest. There is a sweet restfulness when we yoke up with Jesus Christ. He invites us to take his yoke upon our shoulders. We are to come to him. See, our weariness comes from enduring our burdens. Jesus wants to lift that burden. He wants you to take on his yoke and allow his strength to pull the load. See, Jesus' yoke is a yoke of grace and peace. Aren't you ready for some grace and peace? See, there's a satisfaction here. He says, my burden is light. Let's trade burdens, Jesus says. I'll take yours, you take mine. Remember that we have God's presence promised to us. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation or lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We have Christ's comfort, 2 Corinthians 1:5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation or our comfort also aboundeth by Christ. So we have God's presence and we have Christ's comfort, but we also have the aid of the Holy Spirit himself. In Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession with us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Do you know what that means? That when you are in such despair, when you are so loaded down, when life just stinks and you don't know what to say to God, you come to God and just... The Holy Spirit takes that and translates it into prayer for you. The groanings under your load that you can't even put into words. The Spirit of God knows exactly what you need. Afflictions abound and they are prolonged, but consolations abound and they are prolonged. Christ's comfort is sufficient. This ought to reconcile us to the difficulties, ought to help us over the discouragements we may meet with through life. See, when we serve Christ, doing the work, the doing of the work, the suffering that we go through because we carry the name of Christ, see, we may lose a lot of things for Christ, but we will never lose Christ. And he has got to be your source of peace, your source of comfort, and your source of rest. Martin Luther said, Christ's burden is light because he helps us to bear it. And when it becomes too heavy for us, he puts himself under the load with us. And that brings us to number three. There's some information for us, for all of us who would bear a burden. And it's this, I will give you rest. When you hear the word rest, I mean, think of the images that come to mind. For me, it conjures up sitting back in my recliner, my feet up, my head down, not exactly conscious, not exactly asleep. For others, it might be a walk in the woods, maybe a few hours fishing. Still others, they may rest by working in the yard, working in the garden, maybe. But for many, rest is elusive. They don't know where to find it. They may be sitting still. They may not be moving a muscle, but they're not resting, and they don't know why, and they don't know how to do it. See, Jesus has given us a very personal thing here. He says, I will give you rest. He is the Son of God who is able to help you and to relieve you. He lived and he died and he rose again. He's coming back to receive you to himself. He says, I, Jesus says, will give you rest. This proposal, he will give you rest. I mean, he is active and he will meet every single need that you have if you let him. Jesus speaks of the weariness of working hard. You're growing weary to the point of exhaustion. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are exhausted. The weary is the weariness, the heavy loads, the regulations, other people's expectations put on you. See, that's what the load is. The load of other people's expectations, the loads of thinking that you have to do it all, the load of pride that says you must do it if it's going to be done right, the load that says nobody else can do it, so I have to do it. The people were exhausted with the search for you know, the fulfilling of all these extra laws that the Pharisees and Sadducees had put on them. And legalism always places oppressive burdens on people. But the search for God always ends with Jesus Christ. It says, come unto me, all who are weighted down beneath your burden. Now, if your religion is a thing of endless rules and regulations and thou shalt nots, then you've got the wrong belief system. Come to Jesus and be set free from all of that, he says. See, God understands your sorrow. He sees He sees every tear you shed. See, there's a promise tied up in this. So he will give you rest. He says, I will give you rest. But unless we give an idea of a false hope or a false sense of security, the rest that he gives doesn't denote the end of a journey, but an intermission. Think of it this way. Think of soldiers halting for a brief rest on the march. Okay, the march has to be resumed. The campaign's not over yet, but there's a halting for the purpose of gaining strength for what lies ahead. The word rest refers to a resting place. You see, on the ancient highways, because they usually would walk everywhere they went, there were what they called resting stones. The burdens were placed there, and if you've ever been backpacking and you know you're weighted down with your pack, the last thing you want to do is drop that thing to the ground, right? Because what do you have to do? Pick it back up again. So what do? You look for a stump or a tree that you can sit on, just kind of lay the pack on the tree. So when it's time to pick it up again, you're not trying to hook that thing over your shoulder. You just kind of lean it back on. You're almost stood up already, and then you go on. That's the word picture here. The burdens were placed there. They were slid back on the carriers as a journey resumed. Well, Jesus is the carrier. He's the resting stone. He's the tree you're looking for here. And yes, you must resume your march, but you're not going to march alone. Because Jesus marches with you, and he carries that load for you. Can I read you a poem? I'm not a poet. I don't read poems well, but bear with me. It's called I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I come to Jesus, as I was, weary and worn and sad, I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one. Stoop down and drink and live." I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise, and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun, and in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days be done. I guess there's really just one point in the message. Give Jesus your burden. See, when we look at his character, we see that he's gentle and he's lowly. He's humble. He's not harsh. He's not oppressive. And he gives us this challenge that we come to him. He says, "Come unto me." And he towers above all men as he challenges us to submit ourselves to him. And then we see his comfort. He says, "I will give you rest. I'll comfort you. I'll refresh you." See, Jesus' promise is that he will refresh our souls when we come into his presence. And when we go forth with him into the world, that he will replace the burdens that destroy us. He'll replace the burdens that exhaust us with a yoke that will be life-affirming, a yoke that'll be easy to carry. So let me ask you, what is the load you're carrying? What is the burden, the pain, the grief, the hurt, the guilt, the burden that you bear? His invitation includes everything in your life. The only question is, will you hand that over to him? And as you do, will you receive then the refreshing that comes from him? See, he gives forgiveness in exchange for our guilt. He exchanges rest for anxiety and worry. He gives peace in the place of your storm. I'm going to tell you a story that was sent to me over email some time ago. A good example of carrying a heavy burden, that this guy is from Texas. His name was Brother Jack Holcomb. He lived in Waco, Texas. He's in heaven now, but he was a great tenor in his day, a great singer. Someone tells this, they says, "I don't think he ever wrote a song, but he could pick up any songbook and start singing. He had a tear in his voice, but you could understand every word he sang. He would sing a while, preach a while, and then go back to singing. One time while at a church there in Texas, he told about his little girl that one night after supper, while still sitting in the kitchen table, the girl somehow fell out of the high chair, hit her head on the floor, and died. But before the funeral service, as if, you know, things weren't bad enough, a tornado went through the town of Waco, killing many people, destroying many buildings, including the funeral home. Brother Holcomb said, "When the storm passed by, I went down to the funeral home, and in the midst of all the wreckage and debris, I couldn't find my little girl's body. I bowed my head and prayed, 'Oh, Lord God, please. I know my little girl is safe in the arms of Jesus, but I sure would like to bury her body. Would you help me find her?' While I was praying," he said, "the Lord impressed me to get into a car, drive to the cemetery out on Interstate 35. When I got there, hundreds of others were there. Caskets of people killed in the tornado were lined up. I walked down that long row of caskets and found my little girl." As soon as he ended this story, he broke out singing, "Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring it out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." As soon as he finished that song, he started singing. "Singing I will go along life's road. Praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I will go along life's road. For Jesus has lifted my load." With all that Brother Holcomb had been through. He trusted the Lord to keep on singing. He trusted the Lord to carry his burden. And sometimes we think that we have it so bad, but there are folks that are carrying loads that we would never be able to bear. If your burden is heavy, take it to Jesus. He invites you. If you're exhausted from bearing your own burden, then you take it to Jesus. If you need rest, if you need some revitalization, if you need some refreshing, then go to Jesus. He is gentle, he is meek, he is lowly, he is kind, he is loving, and he will give you a rest, a refreshing beyond anything your burdened flesh can imagine. All you have to do is come to Jesus. You come to Jesus, he will give you rest. Look at verse 28 again. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus promises, and I will give you rest. Stand with me, if you would, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Father, we come to you this morning once again, a people desperately in need of you and your presence, of your work. Lord, there are those of us here that carry enormous burdens. Burdens of other people's expectations, burden of the consequences of other people's sin. Father, they carry the burden of frustration and anxiety and despair and hopelessness. Father, they desperately need their burdens lifted. So I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would work in them. If they have any trepidation, any reserve about coming to Jesus, that, Father, you would remove that. Lord, Jesus himself told us that if we come to him, he would give us rest. Father, help us to lay our burdens down. Help us, Lord, get over the lie that we can do it best ourselves. There's nothing we can do ourselves that'll please you. So, Father, work in us that we trust Jesus, not just with our salvation, but with everything. And then, Father, help us to enjoy that rest. The rest that comes with taking Jesus' yoke. The rest that comes with submission to him. Father, it says that we are to learn of him, so please be our teacher. Teach us through the humility of Christ, the easiness of his yoke. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn books, 326 for our closing hymn this morning, 326. Which, as you're turning to this, we don't cahoot the hymns. They're picked independently of the message, but sometimes they fit so well. As this one does, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's sing verse 1 and 3. Light for a look at the Verse 3.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Phil, would you dismiss us this morning?
Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for this message, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And Father, I just pray that we would turn our burdens over to you. You would be our burden bearer, and we know that your word says that you will. And we thank you for the message this morning. Lord, there's so much we could say, but we just know that Jesus is sufficient to carry our burdens and to meet our need. Help us, as this hymn says, to turn our eyes upon you, Lord Jesus, so that we might turn these things over to you. Help us keep a laser focus on you. What you've done, draw us to yourself this morning. Your word tells us that if you're high and lifted up, you will draw them into yourself. Thank you again for this time. Thank you for the message. I pray that you'll have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.